आज हम बात करेंगे डॉक्टर सत्या राव से, जो साल के सबसे बड़े ऑर्डर ऑफ ऑस्ट्रेलिया मेडल सम्मान से नवाजे गए हैं। डॉक्टर सत्या मानसिक स्वास्थ्य क्षेत्र में समाज के लिए पिछले लगभग 25 सालों से काम कर रहे हैं। डॉक्टर सत्या, वेलकम ऑन SBS हिंदी। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, कांग्रेचुलेशंस फॉर द अवार्ड। हाउ आर यू फीलिंग?
थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रियंका। आई एम डीपली डीपली हंबल्ड बाय दिस रिकॉग्निशन। इवन विद इन द मेंटल हेल्थ, आई वर्क विद पीपल हु हैव एक्सपीरियंस्ड trauma and who have a diagnosis of personality disorders. These are people who are highly distressed individuals. Often they are suicidal or trying to hurt themselves in a way of trying to cope with the psychological pain they go through. So I think it's a recognition of that sort of work. So that's what I'm terribly pleased about.
When you arrived in Australia for the first time, what were the challenges faced by you back then?
When I came nearly 25 years ago, the field of personality disorders where I work, that's the specialty that I work in, the science of that specialty was very poorly developed. I came from Bengaluru. I graduated from a very prestigious university in India called NIMHANS, which is the National Institute for Mental Health and Neurosciences. But unfortunately, the science was very poorly developed. So globally, none of us knew much about the treatments of these conditions. So even in Australia at that time, there was very little known. And around that time, Spectrum got established. Spectrum Law was launched. Spectrum is the service that where I work in, where we specialize in treating people with personality disorders and complex trauma. That got established in 1999. So my journey of my professional journey has been very closely intertwined with the journey of Spectrum. And it has been an absolute privilege to work at Spectrum, where I have some very passionate colleagues who really dedicated to this work.
So talking about mental health, what are day-to-day behavioral patterns or symptoms those are generally neglected, which can turn into psychological issues?
Look, particularly with the COVID and post-COVID and nearing post-COVID now, mental health has clearly taken the center stage, and rightfully so, and it is getting the attention that it deserves. And all over the world, and very much in Australia, we are now putting a lot of energy and a lot of funds to make sure that the mental health of the Australians is adequately taken care of. So one of the conditions, one of the parts of mental health that is still to be developed adequately is where there is trauma, or where people have, you know, because of childhood factors or growing up factors, people develop a certain way of thinking, a certain way of behaving, certain way of feeling, which can lead to a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, and it can lead to suicidal behaviors and self-harm behaviors. That's the part we probably have a long way to go. Although the science is developed now, we have really good treatments. People don't know that those treatments exist. And as such, we don't have adequate services that can actually provide that sort of a care for people.
What affects migrants' mental health and how to take care of that?
That's a really an important question, Priyanka. Thank you for asking. Look, migrants are all over the world. Whenever we move from one country to another country, we are really literally moving from one culture to another culture. Most commonly, even people who come from England to Australia do face cultural issues and changes. And people like me who come from countries like India, where it is a more of a collectivistic culture to an individualistic culture, there can be huge challenges. And that can impact our mental health quite significantly, such as feeling isolated, feeling a sense of not belonging, which is an important thing for all of us. So most people cope initially by forming their own communities, number one. which is often looked down upon in our societies, which I think it is perfectly understandable, reasonable, and needed for us to be attached to our own communities in the country to which we are migrated. At the same time, we also need to look at assimilating and making ourselves part of the larger culture, and to see how we can best contribute to the growth of the country that we have adopted to.
Is personality disorder possible in children?
The question that you've asked is a very significant scientific question, because for a long time, we all thought, when I'm talking about people who are working in mental health as well as scientists, we thought that personality disorders and borderline personality disorder did not occur in children. That's what we thought. We thought it only occurred in adults. But that's not true. We can see borderline personality disorder in children. In fact, there is a very important work that has been done in the Melbourne setting. My colleague, Andrew Charing, is a global leader in that field. And we now believe that children can have personality disorders, borderline personality disorder, right from the age of 12. Of course, we're talking about post-puberty. So we do make a diagnosis of personality disorders from the age of 12. And if we can provide adequate treatments, of course, it has to be treatments that are appropriately tailored for children. The outcomes are really good.
What steps need to be taken at personal, social, or community levels to increase mental health awareness?
At the community level, we need to ensure that we follow the usual life hygiene in terms of getting adequate sleep, getting adequate exercise, looking after a diet, and most importantly, looking after relationships. Mental health and relationships are very closely linked. When I talk about relationships, I'm talking about human relationships in general. Our mental health is nourished by human relationships. I'm talking about relationships with our parents, with our sibs, with our friends, with our colleagues, and with our romantic partners broadly. So if we have difficulties in or problems in human relationship, that's what causes a lot of psychological distress. Of course, we also have conditions which are biologically based, which are because of brain chemical changes and genetics. So that causes other kinds of serious mental illnesses, which of course requires treatment. If we can accept mental illnesses as any other type of illnesses, like cough and cold, or like COVID, or any of those diseases which are physical health disorders, if we can accept mental health disorders also in the same way, there'll be no stigma and there'll be no discrimination, and we all could reach out for help earlier on, and create a much more healthier and better society overall.
Thank you so much, Dr. Satya Rao, for taking out time for us. And once again, many congratulations for the award.
Thank you, Priyanka.